Yeah, nothing much, man. A year anniversary already. You've been very busy this past year.
Yes, you know, we were busy prior to the death of Brother Mike Brown too, and in Ferguson. You know, a lot of things have been happening with black people, man, at a very quick pace, and sometimes we need to press the pause button and examine our condition to document our story. So the documentary film that we did was actually designed to examine all the issues around the city of Ferguson, conditions that created another tragic death of a young black male. And, you know, it's one of many. And we have to be involved when the tragedies happen, but we also have to engage when the tragedies, before the tragedies. And so that's kind of the call to action, if you will, that we're using this particular documentary film to create those kind of, help those movements continue.
Right, right. Is this film a traveling film, or can we get it from Netflix? How do we see it?
Well, right now, what we decided to do, because we're also independent black media, and we really believe in black people taking ownership of their art, their products. You know what I mean? We're not
right.
Corporate media. We're not sponsored by any nonprofit money or anything of that nature. This is all, independent black media that's designed to have ownership of the product. So what we wanted to do is have an exclusive, tailored experience where we come into cities or communities or college campuses or even conferences, for that matter, screen this particular documentary film and really honor our humanity, brother, because, before we're obviously black and, African people, we're human beings first.
Right.
And so it's important that, sometimes in these tragic moments, like I said, we take the opportunity to just slow down and kind of honor our experiences as a people. And unfortunately, it seems that we're moving so quickly to where our human value is becoming less valuable. We better pay very close attention to that condition that we currently have in this country. I don't think it's anything different.
Right.
I just think we've been asleep for a while, and it's important for those of us who have the voices and those of us who create that media, just like what you do every day on the radio, that we use that opportunity to actually, advance that cause for the common good for our people, brother.
Wow. Wow. Ralph Crowder on the phone line. Now, the website is freedomradioandtv.com. There is a lot of information there. This is not your first time. You guys have been very busy. If you don't mind, speak on some of the other documentaries that you don't worked on.
We've been extremely busy. I mean, we've done pieces all the way from the condition, the social condition of black men being homeless in a city like Los Angeles. I don't know if the listening audience is familiar, and I'm sure those of us who travel, but there's an area called Skid Row
right.
In Los Angeles where it seems to be normalized, where just a ton of black men are outside sleeping on cardboard boxes, like, once again, brother, almost like subhuman. And,
right.
And that condition is something that's not unique to Los Angeles at all. I'm sure, in your area, in Minneapolis, New York, or wherever we be in the country, that condition of black people not necessarily having that kind of stable housing is doing nothing but rising. We've done documentaries with a music concert documentaries with a jazz great, Roy Ayers. We've also, a crazy thing that we've done, we've been documenting kind of the culture and the history of hip hop for years, but we're kind of dealing with a situation right now where the classic interview that we did with the late great Guru from the Mighty B Gangstar. And it seems like the corporate media's doing a lot of biting, and Complex Magazine kind of lifted up some of our footage in a recent installment of a series that they're doing, sponsored by McDonald's, ironically. It's a magnum opus series that Complex Magazine is doing, and that was founded by Mark Echo, if anybody knows him from the clothing world. But, you know, we're all over, man. We're definitely dedicated to, you know, tell the stories, man, to honor our people and to uplift our condition and inspire us through that beautiful work that sometimes film and media can do.
Wow. On the phone line, Ralph Crowder's on the phone line, freedomradioandtv.com. A lot of information there. You travel around the country speaking and having these conversations. What do you think is occurring at the end of this conversation, at the end of watching this documentary? What do you think is the net sum?
You know, sometimes, brother, when you're walking in pain and you don't have that space to really see your pain in that mirror, and I guess in when I'm saying that mirror, I'm using that somewhat of a metaphor for what film can be. It's a mirror. It's a mirror through the arts. It's a mirror into our spirit. It's a way that we can capture our energy. And I think what the film does, man, it reflects our condition, the pain that we experience, man, in this country, man, that we came here as, you know, captive human beings, you know, that came from a language and a culture and a worship of God that was totally stripped from us. And I think our interaction within this country has been less than human. And I would dare to say we're still struggling with the idea of being citizens of this country. Mm. And so when we see the interaction that we have, man, with the police force or even our public schools for that matter, I mean, we're just in a situation, man, where we're under attack.
Right.
And sometimes we can have these jobs and sometimes we can look at this TV and watch some of these games or whatever we do to kind of not deal with the pain. Mm. But if we don't pay attention to that, brother, especially for our youth that are uprising all across the country, you know, if we don't pay attention to that, then what happens is our youth start to revolt.
Mm-hmm.
And they start to uprise because I think the dominant theme is that they have no respect for the adults in their lives. And, you know, I don't know how a family, you know, we all come from families, so I don't know how families work in pain and trauma, but you have to pay attention to it, brother, or else your household will totally be one of chaos and it won't be stable.
Wow.
So that's really what I think, you know, is seen in this particular film piece. And we do come out with some discussions, and I think at the end of the day, people move to a higher level of whatever their personal calling is in that struggle that we have.
I tell you what, you definitely got a lot of work you've been doing, man. I've been checking out the website.
Oh, man, we got a lot of work to do, brother. Yeah. And some of us better drop some of these jobs and these paychecks and get in this struggle for real, because I'm a person of faith.
Right.
And, you know, like I said, we're not sponsored by corporations or nonprofits or none of that.
Right.
But through some reason, we were called to do this work, and you know, our faith sustains us, and we're traveling the country, brother. So just imagine if we see some of the issues, you know, as others do. You know, some of us, man, are going to have to really tap into that calling that we have in our lives, man, and maybe get rid of a little bit of comfort to do some work so that our people are better, that we're in a better place.
Wow. Ralph Crowder on the phone. Now, what have we learned in the past year, man? What have we learned about America? Because this is the anniversary of Mike Brown, but, man, so much stuff has taken place in the past year.
Yes. I think we learned that our adults may be asleep and our children are wide awake.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the youth are exploring the same questions that, you know, my father and mother's generation did when they went through that time period in the late 60s and early 70s. Some might say the Black Power movement or or, you know, others might say the Black Liberation Movement. We just came through the Civil Rights Movement. But our youth, man, are watching this, man, and they're experiencing many of the same themes that multiple generations have experienced in this country. And I think what we're seeing, man, is that if we don't step up, you know, the babies will. And what do we look like when the babies are leading the adults?
Right, right. Wow. How do we change this whole thing? It's no easy fix. We know that.
No. How do we fix this?
Yeah. Because it's not just to think about in the past year, you go to Charleston, North Charleston, where the police officer shoot an unarmed black man. Then you get the situation in the church down there. Well, then you got the New York struggling a black man unarmed, kill him on the street, saying he can't breathe. And it just keeps on coming on. It's how do we fix that? I know Paul Mooney got a solution, but I ain't gonna mention his solution. His solution might be a little bit too radical.
Yeah, but that's a big question. I know that's a big question, brother. And I think we all, like I said, have a personal calling when we navigate this life and we navigate our conditions as a family, a community, or a people. I'm sure we all have quiet time and we're talked to by, you know, the one who created us. But I think one of the things that we can do to definitely be in a better place is, man, we got to become owners, brother.
Right.
We got to become owners, man.
Right.
I mean, if nothing else, owners of our own mouths and what words come out of our you know, our tongues. You know, is your tongue bought and paid for? You know, do you own your own tongue? Do you own your own words that come out of your mouth? Or is that sponsored by, you know, your management at your job? Is it sponsored by your local nonprofit?
Right.
Is it sponsored by, you know, your corporation? I mean, it starts from the words that we speak. And then, you know, we need to become owners of our own institutions. We need to be able to house our people. We need to be able to employ our people. You know, many times we struggle because we have no power. There's power in ownership. And I think, you know, there's been a lot of discussions that have been happening even this year. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, I was checking out my brother Dame Dash talking about the power of ownership. You know,
right.
we're in a better situation when we own and finance our own movement, period.
Right. Focus group, how can they tie in to you? How can they reach out to you to host a focus group and see the documentary and carry on the conversation?
Yes, brother. We'd love to get out to your area in Michigan, you know what I'm saying? Definitely have, you know, some kind of engagement with the beautiful people out there.
Right.
You can get in touch with us at freedomradioandtv.com. That's the website, but you can also reach us out to us to our publicist and marketing director, Sister City. She's at 612-460-1772. That's area code 612-460-1772. And that's definitely to reach out. So, you know, you can engage in, I think, one of the most powerful documentary films that covered the broader issues of what is Ferguson, Missouri. But, you know, ironically, the story and the issues of Ferguson, Missouri is easily right there where you're at in Michigan.
Right.
It's right here with me right now. I'm calling from Minneapolis right now. It's in Chicago, Illinois. It's in Los Angeles. It's in Harlem, New York. It's all over the country, man.
Right.
So that's the way you can reach out to us. And I'm telling you right now, you will leave that experience, like I said, with more of a higher purpose and calling for whatever your role is in that movement.
Wow. Have you had a chance to go back to Ferguson since doing a documentary and see how it's shaped up?
You know, I'm actually glad that we went down there before. A lot of times, man, when things happen, and direct answer to that question, yes, we do plan to go back down there. But as you know, and I'm sure others see in the listening audience, and we all understand that sometimes movements, when they're fresh and raw and they're right, a part of the people's sincere emotions, sometimes when that energy takes place, what happens, there's a rush to go down and co-opt and corporatize that energy, to mold and shape it, to not take the kind of power that it possibly could. And I think what we did, we were able to get down there right where the brother Michael Brown, the day of the Michael Brown funeral. So it was still, everything was very...
I'm losing the audio. I'm losing your own audio. I don't know if it's... I'm losing your audio. I don't know if you changed the way your headset is on the phone, but the audio went kind of low there for the last few seconds, if you don't mind.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So basically, we're going to go down there, I believe, in the coming month, just to kind of make that 1 year check-in on that particular movement, on that particular energy, on that particular story, to kind of check in with the people to see how they were supported, how they were used, maybe how they've been helped. I mean, it's an ongoing story, but once again, Ferguson, Missouri, like I said before, is everywhere in America.
Right.
Those were just the strong black people that stood up
right.
at that particular time.
Brother Crowder, before we go, I got to mention before the Mayflower documentary, I take it that you don't celebrate Christopher Columbus Day. I take it you don't celebrate Columbus Day.
Yeah, I feel strongly about that. I don't know if you brothers there just recently saw the Ghostface response to Action.
Yes,
Bronson.
I did. Yeah, I did.
Yeah. So before the Mayflower's piece is basically exploring the time period of hip-hop and the culture of hip-hop between the 10-year time frame between 1988 and 1998. Basically, I'm seeming that before the Mayflowers landed because, the way that hip-hop culture has been, like I said before, commodified and commercialized and corporatized, you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
It has definitely lost a lot of its unique relationship with the black community. Anybody who's a student of history knows that jazz, the culture of jazz, especially, during the bebop era, went through the same kind of activity. So Before the Mayflowers is dedicated to different cities to explore the different stories of hip-hop culture that made those cities unique before the Mayflowers landed. And I'll just let the listening audience kind of think what exactly that means to them.
Right. I think they know. Yeah. I think they know. They read Vince Cerman's book, too. it's amazing. You know, I tell you this. It's amazing that in America we give credit to Columbus for discovering America. You go to the Dominicans, they give credit to Columbus for discovering the Dominican. I was recently, last week, in South Africa, in Zambia, and Zimbabwe. They give Cecil Rhodes credit and for discovering Victoria Falls. All these properties, all these land was inhabited by black folks before the other folks got there. So it's the same story, but we teach this stuff to our kids in school, though. That's what my problem is.
No, they teach that stuff. I teach my kids. Yeah. I tell my kids all the time, if they tell you to celebrate Christopher Columbus, tell them you got an uncle named Pookie who murdered and raped some people, too, in prison. Can we celebrate him?
Right, because they both in the same category.
They both in the same category.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. Exactly. That just make me upset, man. That we teach a lie to our kids in history, then we give a holiday to somebody who murdered and killed people.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. Rape people. Don't forget the rape.
Yeah.
But also, also, Brother Crowder.
And just, you know, to the point I made earlier, brother, just, you know, we laugh about it now, but just think, you know what I'm saying? That's kind of that pain that we've been used to experiencing that we normalize.
Right.
You feel me?
Yeah.
Like, we laugh about that, but that's a serious thing, and I think we have to question where we're at in terms of allowing these conditions to still take place when we do celebrate and indoctrinate our children into basically, you know, people who would be your modern day killer that was in the Charleston, South Carolina church.
Yeah. Exactly.
Exactly.
Exactly. Go ahead, Big Rob.
I see you were a DJ and a radio personality, also a concert promoter and special events organizer, and you went to the University of Virginia Union? University?
Yeah, I went to Virginia Union University in Richmond, Virginia, and did a little bit of time in the pool room at Borough Manhattan College in New York City.
Now, do you teach your kids the truth? I see you have two teenage children. Do you teach them the truth, or have you ever sent them to school, had a problem with a teacher because you told them the truth and they're telling them a lie? Because I have. I've had that problem. I got
my brother. I went through a massive public school war with both of my children. They're actually both graduated. Now I'm 44, so that's the kind of the age zone I'm in. But my daughter's 21 and my son's 18, and he just graduated. And actually, brother, I can be real with you. I had to move my son from the home of the new Confederate North, which is Minneapolis, Minnesota, all the way out to Bowie, Maryland, and Prince George County, just to graduate from high school. So I've had plenty of experiences with public schools and the mess that goes with that. And I would just really say, I think public schools, no, I know public schools are executing a slow, more of a slow murder of more black children than any police department in America combined.
Wow. 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 And you can't argue, because when you're destroying the mind, you're destroying their body and their soul. And we see what's happening with the black boys.
No doubt about it.
Wow. All right, man. Thank you so much for your time. We got to get you back, man. And hopefully we can get you down here. And you got so many to choose from that I wouldn't mind having, you know, a little panel discussion on and watching and a focus group on, not just the Ferguson situation. You got a lot here that you have produced, man, particularly with the hip hop. You know, we brought Umar Johnson here a couple of times, and we brought in Professor Griffith a couple of times. So we do for a cultural awareness series. We do for one.
Oh, yeah. You just made me smile when you said we need to do a critical a critical conversation around our culture of hip hop, man. I'm definitely all in with that. Any time y'all want to, you know what I'm saying, have me out there, I'm definitely down with it. So I would just say to my people out in Michigan, man, y'all stay strong. We definitely need to stay strong in these times right now, and don't give up on our youth, man, because, like I said, whenever we see the babies in front of the adults, we need to question what we're doing.
All right.
So, once again, man, just reach out to us, man. You know, we're at freedomradioandtv.com. I just gave the number out, 612-460-1772, brother. So I appreciate time you allowed us to come on the air, man.
All right, brother, man. We honored to have you, man. Yes, peace, sir. And blessings to you.